All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Hey guys, it's Mark.
And I'm Charity.
And welcome to the Case Watch Podcast.
Case Watch deals with content meant for a mature audience. Listener discretion is advised. Case Watch.
Confirming the body found in Grand Teton National Park is Gabby Petito, and she was killed.
We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, not guilty of the crime of murder.
Late today, Chris Watts was officially charged with the murders of his wife and his two young girls.
Remember these words. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
All right, let's jump right in. Charity says she's got a pretty cool case, and she says she's got something that a whole bunch of creeps have sent to her.
I do.
And I've been on the road for 11 days, so I have not been around a TV. I don't know anything that's going on in the world, so enlighten me on everything that's going on now.
Well, before we get into those few little things, we have a couple other things that we need to talk about that are important.
Okay.
So this comes from Yahoo News.
Yeah.
And it states, Gabby Petito's mom and stepmom send not-so-subtle message to Roberta, didn't mean to put an R, Laundry. Are you ready for this?
I am.
Gabby Petito's mom and stepmom torched Brian Laundry's mother over the weekend with matching T-shirts they hope will raise money for domestic violence victims and missing persons awareness. The fiery message is a swipe at Roberta Laundry's so-called, quote, burn after reading letter, in which she pledged to help her son with a shovel in a garbage bags. Nicole Schmidt and Tara Petito took part in a panel at CrimeCon 2024 in Nashville, Tennessee, Friday, where they delivered victims' impact statements that they were denied a chance to read in court after Brian Laundry ran away from justice and killed himself in a swamp. Schmidt made waves with the audience when she forgave her daughter's killer, only to skewer his mother moments later. Quote, I speak for myself here when I say, Brian, I forgive you, Schmidt said. I needed to release myself from the chains of anger and bitterness, and I refuse to let you your despicable act define the rest of my life. As for you, Roberta, and I call you out individually because you are evidently the mastermind that shattered your family and mine with your evil ways. I see no empathy in your eyes, Schmidt said. No remorse in your heart and no willingness to take responsibility for your actions. Tara Petito also delivered remarks wearing the same shirt. The family is selling a limited run of tees on the Gabby Petito Foundation website in order to raise money for the fight against domestic violence. Both moms wore matching T-shirts and a swipe at Roberta Laundry, who wrote an infamous letter bearing the phrase, Gabby Petito and Brian Laundry. I'm not going to read that. That just goes on to tell the story of it. But their T-shirts literally say burn after reading. Matching T-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
For everyone to see. So that's quite the statement that two mothers to another mother had to say. And I thought that was very interesting. And we also have to talk about a CDD.
A what?
Instead of a triple D.
A CDD?
Mm-hmm. A Chad Douche Daybell.
Oh.
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
Because, guys, in a shocking event, he was found guilty on all counts. And he has been sentenced to the death penalty.
Oh, really?
Yes, he has.
I told you, I have not seen any TV, anything.
Yes, he has.
Good.
Thank you, Lord. Okay? Because you know what? Maybe they're turning into zombies. I don't know. I'm a little nervous about that.
Oh, boy.
I know. So those are the two news items that I just wanted to mention. Oh, my God. Guys.
Sorry.
Mark just did like a long pause and looked at me and I said, are you going to say action? And then he just said action.
All right. I don't know. Little behind the scenes. Charity will hold her finger up.
My pointer.
Point her finger up when she needs to stop for a second to help her parched throat or pull something up. And I always either I'll go roll that beautiful bean footage or I'm like, and go or action. And then she's looking at me and I'm like, and I had my finger in the air.
His finger was in the air.
And then finally she's like, what? And they go, action. And then so pick up right where you guys started hearing her laugh.
And guys, I made a bad choice. I think this is the first time I've worn shorts to record and with the leather seat. And I believe I'm sticking to the seat because it is his house is not that hot, but it's hot out. So,
well, you might hear a sound difference now from 30 seconds ago.
Shut
the fan off. This is what we're doing for you guys because I could hear it in my headphones.
So, guys, I'm sticking to the seat just for you guys. And it's okay. I'll be fine. And I'll just peel myself off of it after.
And leather is far from what that chair is. That's one that I found on the side of the road for free.
Leather. Maybe it's pleather.
Like plastic
those,
leather.
It's pleather like all those pants you have, Mark.
Right. I grew up and I remember having,
Did you have leather pants?
No, but it's so funny the way people would do things. So back in the day, we had Ames and we used to shop at Ames. And I remember, you know, growing up, we didn't have a lot of money. Whatever. I'm who I am. Don't really care. So I used to get those genuine imitation leather 4-stripe Adidas. Nice. They were sweet. Like I used to love going to school with those. Like, you know, being in the third grade, trying to figure out how to saw off one of the 4.
Oh my gosh. So it was just the 3.
Yes.
That's really funny.
But the fact that they would put on a piece, they would stamp it on a piece of fake leather, genuine imitation leather.
Well, yeah. If they had to say it was imitation. They couldn't say that it was really leather.
Good times. Good times.
Okay. This is the one that so many people sent me because it's definitely a triple D.
All right.
So let me just read. It's from 25 News. This is it's trending, guys, or it was trending.
Oh, boy. Now I got to hear.
Judge stunned after man with suspended license joined Zoom court hearing while driving, guys.
I did see this.
Washtenaw County. Did I say that right?
I'm going to say no, but yeah, go ahead.
Whatever. Michigan. A Michigan judge was at a loss for words after a man charged with driving with a suspended license appeared virtually in court earlier this month while driving.
That's funny.
Washtenaw County District Court Judge Jay Cedric Simpson was conducting a virtual court hearing via Zoom with Corey Harris, 44, who joined the on-camera session, apparently driving his vehicle.
So we're not only breaking the law by being on your phone while driving, we're also driving without a license and apparently a brain.
Harris had been charged with driving with a suspended license in October 2023, according to, hold on, going on?
Hold, please.
Oh, yeah, hold. Oh, wait, here, read more.
You know what? All right, I'm going to get on my soapbox.
I know,
Less than 10 minutes into this episode. Dear idiots of the advertising internet. Stop doing these stupid
ads
on these stuff that you click on Facebook because what it ends up doing is making me never go to your site ever again.
Oh, guys, he has an excuse. So it says naturally the magistrate was a little confused, right?
Yep.
He says, Mr. Harris, are you driving? Simpson asked Harris. Actually, he says, I'm pulling into my doctor's office, according to WJBK TV. Just give me 1 second. I'm parking right now.
He'd be like, not driving. Parking, not driving.
Simpson dropped his pen and rested his head on his hand. Quote, I'm looking at his records and he doesn't have a license, Simpson said. He's suspended and he's just driving. Simpson turned to Natalie Pate, the public defender representing Harris, who had asked for an adjournment. Maybe I don't understand something. This is a driving with license suspended? Simpson asked the attorney, who confirmed the charge his client was facing, and he was just driving and he didn't have a license. That is correct, Your Honor, Pate said.
I love it.
Not surprisingly, Simpson revoked Harris's bail and he was ordered to surrender to authorities at the Washtenaw County Jail. By that evening. That was fantastic. And guys, thank you all for sending that to me because these, like I say, overjoy me. I just, they just give me the feels.
Little giblets of douche.
They just give me the good feels. That's all I can say.
Do you know what gives me good feels? Is the fact that, so I want to make sure that we say that we did not forget to talk about it, but we have not been on the air since our birthday.
Oh, yes, Danelle.
Danelle sent us birthday cards. Thank you very much. It is sitting right here. It's sitting next to me as we speak on my desk.
I know, and mine is too, right next to me. I know, because thank you very much. Some people may not have realized that was a best of.
Yes.
And if you do, again, sounds a little more polished than it does now.
I don't know what episode I just picked one.
Yeah, it was a good one. It was the Alyssa Bustamante.
Okay.
Yeah,
I saw Mailman Steve post about the Sasquatch. So we must have talked a little bit about that.
Because we were talking about secret lies and alibis that we wanted to get.
I like that podcast.
It was good, but it was
too much.
It was too much because at the time we were doing two shorter episodes a week. So we'd do like a 30 minute and a 30 minute or sometimes a 25 and a 20, whatever.
Who told you 30 minutes is short? I'd be happy. Oh.
We're talking about recording, okay. Mark.
I didn't know. I confused over here.
All right. Here's this one little last gem before we get into the case.
All right.
Okay, ready? This one is from Patch Across Massachusetts. And the headline says, MA's bad breath rapist caught after nearly two decades on the run. This, my friends, has led me to a new segment.
What's that?
Criminals caught because of embarrassing reasons. I mean, all the triple D's are embarrassing.
Yeah.
But bad breath, his breath was horrible. So his female companion, after 15 years of being together in California, never knew who he really was, according to the police. Nearly two decades after Massachusetts, quote, they named him the bad breath rapist.
You know what a new segment I want to do?
What?
We got to get Steve on.
Oh,
and
we
I
totally
want it to be
Steve.
Steve's mailbag.
Steve, are you up? Are you in? Oh, sorry. That sounded bad.
Whoa.
Well, hold on, Steve. This is just for you.
That's what she said.
Hold on.
Sorry, Steve. That came out wrong. Yes, sir. Please slap me in the face with your meat. I hate that he knows where that button is, guys. Testicles. 1, 2, 3.
I know where the two good ones are.
The testicle one's my favorite because I say that pretty much. I say that every time along with my pounding out signifying thing that actually Kristen and I did together.
Whoa, where was I?
But
I've been asking for that for years. Yeah. What's going on here?
Well, it's different. It's my signature, very awkward, you know, thrusting that I do.
Yeah. You also floss like better than anybody I've ever seen.
Guys, I've practiced the floss a lot, though. Okay, I have digressed. Let me just continue on.
I've digressed since the first episode.
Nearly two decades after Massachusetts' bad breath rapist, identified by his DNA and horrible breath, was found guilty of raping a coworker at knife point. He has been captured by a fugitive team, state police announced late Tuesday. This is the man's name who has the really bad breath and is the loser who was a rapist. Tuen Lee faced trial following the February 2005 home invasion and rape in Quincy. Good! I'm not even going to read on because he has bad breath and I don't even want to talk about him anymore. But I say amazing. Amazing that the person you raped, the poor thing, was courageous enough to come forward and talk about your horrendous halitosis and give a DNA sample. So go you, whoever you are.
Yeah.
And I'm horribly sad that happened to you, but your bravery has brought justice.
Yeah, I'm happy that you followed through and got this D-bag into jail
finally.
That
has to be the most horrific thing to go through.
And, 100%.
And have to go through all of the things that need to happen after that to find justice. So, yeah, bad breath dude. Don't care about you.
Not one bit.
Yep, but I'm glad you're caught.
Maybe his breath won't be so bad once he's in jail. Because, you know, think about it. Jail.
Well, he might be.
Sex crime guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Might smell like other stuff. But
yeah, and he looks like a more of a slight man. So I think that he's going to have some hard times. But I don't really care.
She's like, Bubba, no.
Yeah, right? Yeah, let Bubba at him. That's all I'm saying. So I decided that I would like to move forward with every now and then. I was going to do a montage of them, and I still might, of jealous killers. Now, this is not jealous as in passion crimes.
I was going to say, if this is a passion crime, I was going to throw something at you.
Mark gets a little bit.
Do you know what I moved on from?
What?
Eating my Tic Tacs on air because apparently it's annoying.
Oh, who told you that?
Because I'm hearing it in my headphones.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, guys. That little clicking sound is definitely not me chewing on Tic Tacs.
They can tell when you're.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
When you're eating sometimes. Oh, it's hysterical.
I always like when people say, like, oh, we hear Sophie.
Yeah, and then you hear, oh, so I love when you can hear Sophie. So this is a two-parter. The first one is has no crimes in it, guys. Basically, we're going to be talking about this person because I think it is super important to see where they came from. And through the course of their life, we're going to end up when they graduate from high school, and then we'll continue on after that. So,
all right. Well, now you just turned off half the audience. You're gonna be like, there's no crimes. Fast forward. I'm going to give you guys something to look forward to.
No, they're going to like this.
No. I'm going to give them something to look forward to. In the last bit of this podcast, I'll tell a secret.
Is it a secret that I know?
I'm going to probably make it up, but
don't make it up. No, a real secret.
I don't have secrets.
Well, think of one.
All right. If I had secrets, people, don't you think I would not have said half the stuff I say on this podcast? I say anything.
That's
kind of
true.
Head.
Mark says like things you're supposed to say in your brain, sometimes outward. And I do, too.
We are like almost 200 episodes into saying things that should have stayed in our brain.
It happens. It makes the listeners more comfortable to express themselves, Mark. We're giving to the world.
Sure am. Plus, I am back in on eating Tic Tacs.
He's
on
back
the air,
in,
so,
guys.
Sorry.
So just know if you hear it, if you hear that, that's
it's definitely
why.
Not this sound right here.
Oh, it is that sound. Okay, here we go. I want you to listen very good, Mark, because you have to remember this for next week.
Are you going to give me a progress report when we're done?
Yes.
Okay, I'll see if I pass.
Elliot Roger, was born in England on July 24th, 1991. His father, Peter Roger, is a photographer and filmmaker as well as a commercial director. In fact, in 2012, Peter was one of the directors on The Hunger Games.
Really?
Believe it or not.
I actually love that movie.
Me too.
Should we tell them what we said? I asked you as soon as you came in. Because I always ask her, the only information I ask her about the episode is what the title is. So I can just create the file in Adobe Audition so I don't lose it later down the line. And she's like, Elliot Roger. And I was like, wait, is Roger with a D? Because I don't trust Rogers with a D. She says, yes, it is. R-O-D-G-E-R. So I don't know if this guy is the good person, the bad person. None of us do right now.
No.
But in my mind, I don't trust Rogers with a D.
Wow.
Moving on.
Interesting. His mother, Lee Chin, worked as a nurse on the sets of The Princess Bride, one of the best movies ever, guys.
Never seen it.
What?
Yeah. And it has people in it that I really, really like. I've never seen it.
I am speechless. That is like a rite of passage to watch that movie.
Yeah, but I'm like Red Balloon guy. Like I get bored.
I am
very,
too.
Very
what just
easy.
Happened 2 seconds ago when you had to shut the thing off because I got distracted.
Yes, true.
It's good. Anyways, and he did. And she was a nurse on the set for one of the Indiana Jones movies.
I've seen those. Those are good.
His parents seemed to be very successful. Lee stopped working as a nurse when she had Elliot. She wanted to be home for him, which is nice, right?
Yeah.
Peter and Lee went on to have a daughter as well. As the family grew, Elliot's grandmother moved into their home. It's been said that he actually bonded deeply with her. So keep that in mind, that he bonded deeply with her. Okay. Oh,
hold on. I have to tell a quick story.
Oh, God.
So sorry, because you're going to love this one. So one of my friends said to me this weekend when we were at one of the racetracks working, and he came down. I was having a half meltdown because 5 minutes before – oh, actually, it was 10 minutes. Sorry. 10 minutes before we went live on a broadcast, one of my cables failed. And unfortunately, this cable was 2 feet underneath the ground. and it's 100 feet long. And I had to try to figure out how to get this fixed in 10 minutes. And I did. And then he comes down. He's like, got a computer problem.
Oh, man.
Upstairs. Timing computers down. Need your help. And my mind is in nothing against charity or any of this stuff, but my mind is not on people outside of the racing world that I'm involved in when I'm at races.
Right.
Like, that's where my mind is.
Yeah.
And we're heading up the stairs, and he says, I almost went to charity, but I know she doesn't have great tech advice. And I was like, who? And he's like, your podcast partner's like, oh, I wasn't even thinking. Like, my mind wasn't even, I would have never picked that up. Not in a million
years.
Boy,
would he have been disappointed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that Craig, who's my buddy, Craig, that computer probably would be smelling of burning smoke.
Oh, it would have been bad. Yeah.
And everything else.
Yeah.
My best off-air story that I've ever had with charity is after we got done recording the episode,
this is bad. Oh,
when she's like,
my God.
I'm the best tech support person in the world. I'm a 5 out of 10. I'm awesome. Immediately hits the wrong button on her laptop, screws the whole thing up, has no idea how to undo it. And she's like, normally I'm really good. Not this one time. And she's hitting random buttons on her keyboard.
It's true, guys.
I was just like, why couldn't we roll back and put that on air? That was amazing.
We probably should.
All right. Now I stop. Continue on with your crime story.
Okay. So Elliot and his sister were rich kids, for lack of a better phrase, right? They had everything. The family had plenty of money and the children were doted on. Roger had already vacationed with his family, I believe, 4 times before he was 4 in 2 other countries.
Which I don't think I vacationed one time my entire childhood. We went camping twice. It was awesome.
I mean, that's definitely way more traveling than I will ever do, I think. Education was no different. Elliot was sent to the Dorset House, a prestigious elite all-boys private school. He hated going there because it was a very structured, strict school. The boys weren't allowed to get away with anything, right? So at home, he was kind of like an entitled little rich guy, right? Little kid. Okay. This is grade school, guys. But in school, he had to follow rules. It was a very strict school. And then if you were to go there, if you were, you know, one of the lucky ones to be able to afford going there, you had to follow the darn rules. And that's just the way it was.
Rules are rules, man.
But he would come home crying because he hated it so much, which is sad. He was a little guy when he was attending the Dorset House because when he was 5, the family moved to the United States. Los Angeles, to be exact, in the Woodland Hills in San Fernando Valley. He quickly became friends with a little girl. He would later say she was the only girl he had ever been friends with. And that's kind of an interesting thing to say, don't you think?
That is odd.
Right? Elliot was...
Most of my friends are girls. I have lots of friends who are guys, too. But, like, I can equally have... I actually probably have more friends who are girls than I do guys, which is not unusual. I'm pretty popular with the ladies.
He's into the peanut butter. He's just playing with the wrapper. Okay. Elliot was enrolled in Topanga Elementary School.
Topanga, isn't that a name from Boy Meets World?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. I thought awesome. The same thing.
Did you see? This is why we do this show.
He was able to make a small amount of friends at the time, but became best friends with one boy in particular. He stayed friends with this best friend for a total of 14 years. Okay, well, that's good, I guess. Peter and Lee divorced when Elliot was 7 years old. And this was a major upheaval in his life and affected him profoundly. He and his sister primarily lived with Lee. They only stayed with their father on the weekends. And I can imagine it must have been hard to all of a sudden not have your father around as much, right? I mean, you go to seeing him to not. Not to mention still getting used to living in a whole different country. So that's a lot going on, okay?
Oh, yeah.
You move to a brand new country. You're in a school that... You know, you're in a new school now, again, from the other school, and your parents are divorcing, and you don't see your dad nearly as much as you had before. So only a year after the divorce, Elliot's father remarried an actress named Soumaya Akaboun. Don't know if I said that right, but she is mostly known for being on the French version of The Real Housewives.
Everybody in the audience who thinks Charity pronounced that correctly, raise your hand. Well, Charity has two hands up, so that is a total of two hands that are raised that think Charity's correct.
Yeah, guys, tell me on.
No, no, that's including your hands. There's only two
you
hands that are
up. You don't know that. They haven't. You don't even know that. I guess she did some acting and modeling as well. Around this time, it's been said that Elliot shut down and stopped communicating. That's not good, guys.
Nope.
The rest of his time in grade school, it was noticed he had a hard time even speaking out loud. When he was asked a question, he would whisper the answer. Now, that's really sad.
That is odd.
Right? He refused to socialize with the other students, even hiding during recess. So he'd go outside at recess because he had to. They made him. And he would, like, hide behind something so they didn't see him. So sad.
You know what the worst part about fifth grade was?
What?
That's when they stopped recess.
Really? Yes. I had recess in fifth grade.
No, actually, hold on. It was seventh grade. Seventh grade, they stopped recess. Fifth and sixth, they still had it.
See, I didn't have recess sixth through eighth.
Yeah.
Because that was a different school. My middle school was sixth through eight.
Well, I grew up in Claremont. It's completely different now. Sure. Half the schools that I went to aren't even in existence
anymore.
Oh,
I'm sure.
One of the schools that I went to my elementary school is like a karate place now. It's weird.
Really?
Yes. Like they teach karate there.
Karate. So it was clear he was socially awkward and shy was not even the word you could use for him at this time.
Yeah.
He hated any social activity. A simple birthday party would send him into an all-out anxious mess.
I hate social stuff, too.
I know.
I hate being the center of attention. Sure.
I mean, yes. I mean, I don't hate it.
Actually, I absolutely love it. I hold court.
Me too.
I tell stories.
I know.
Everyone's like, I wish the fat guy would shut his mouth because life would be so much better right now.
Mark, we should just throw a party and for ourselves and we'll just talk about ourselves the whole time.
Oh, so, no, I make fun of everybody.
Well, we could do that, too.
I'll sit around the fire and I'll like start on the left and then I'll just work my way around and make fun of like one after another.
I like that. That's good.
It's fun.
Elliot couldn't even enjoy a trip to Disneyland because of how many people were there. All he did was cry. So, of course, for somebody who is socially awkward, withdrawn, and extremely anxious, a big crowd like that, like his parents should have. I mean, I'm not putting blame on anybody for anything, but because I don't know what the situation was with his parents, but you're a little kid.
Here's
clearly.
The situation. The parents went away on a week's vacation.
Oh, here we go.
Yep. They left the keys to the brand new car.
Yep.
I mean, that was the situation.
That was the situation.
I had to get one song in today.
I don't know. I just think it's so sad to be that young having to deal with such intense fears and anxiety, you know?
Oh, it's got to be horrible.
Like, when you're a kid, you should have absolutely no... This you shouldn't even know what anxiety is, you know? And I know so many people suffer with it, don't get me wrong. But, like, I just remember being a kid and just being, like, feeling free and playing outside and... You know, my parents did a good job, I guess, sheltering me from, you know, of course I had fears, you know, about going to school, meeting new people, but luckily nothing like this. This is really sad. So he and his sister never bonded. In fact, he was jealous of her and would cause fights over possessions such as toys, etc. He hated when her friends would come over because at home he wanted it to be all about him. He would freak out if things didn't go his way. So at that point, Elliot sounded like he acted like a little spoiled brat when he was at home with his family. Probably because that was the only place he felt like he could act that way.
Maybe.
Is my opinion. I don't know.
Actually, you might be onto something right there.
Right? Because
yeah.
At school, he was hiding. You know what I mean? He was even jealous with the few friends he had if they were chatting with each other for even a minute. He would immediately feel like they were leaving him out. So if they would just like, if he walked into the room and they were just like chatting about like the new pens they got or whatever, he would be like, oh my God, they're not including me. And God forbid they talked to his sister instead of him. That was really bad. Mm-hmm. He would take that as a direct insult. Like they liked her more than him because he already had issues with her at home. Like I don't even like her. We can't bond. We don't. So if his friends talk to her, forget
I'm getting
it.
Nervous to where this is going.
Well, you're not going to find out till next week.
I know.
So it sounds like his issues were getting worse and worse as he grew older. In 1999, Elliot's mother filed with the courts to up the child support coming in from his father. She said she needed more money so that she could properly take care of Elliot, who had been labeled, quote, high-functioning autistic, end quote. His dad tried to fight the increase by having his son seen by a doctor he chose. The doctor said that the autistic diagnosis was pretty much bullcrap. He then went on to state that diagnoses such as anxiety and depression were missed. The doctor suggested that Elliot got properly evaluated by a psychiatrist that specializes in children. He thought this would help him get an exact, accurate diagnosis. I couldn't find any information that stated whether he received the evaluation or not, but in my opinion, it's not. Because it sounds like these two were caught up in their divorce and money situations. And, you know, the father has this new family and he is having to pay for his new life. And he doesn't want to have to up his child support. So that must have made him feel crappy, too. Like, dad doesn't even care enough to give us what we need. You know what I mean?
Oh, I do.
Elliot became very aware of the fact that he was much shorter than all his peers. In the fourth grade, he decided to try playing basketball. Since basketball players are usually on the taller side, he thought that playing might help him to grow. Oh, I know, but think of the little boy in the fourth grade thinking that, right? When he saw all the taller boys being able to take shots, he realized his height hindered him and became more withdrawn and quit altogether. Around the same time he realized how small he was, he began to become ashamed, for lack of a better word, because he was half white and half Asian. He felt like all the other kids were just white. He's picking himself apart, finding things to separate himself even more from the peers, it sounds like.
That and also coming up with reasons why he shouldn't and couldn't do things.
Well, he did make an attempt to blend in. He bleached his hair blonde and tried skateboarding, which I kind of find funny because that must have been the whitest thing he thought to do, is become a skater boy with blonde hair.
But he was a skater boy, and she said, see you later, boy.
Here we go. He has to.
I can't not. Sorry. It's a great song.
Elliot tried to talk with the popular kids and even attempted talking to girls. Instead of being happy, he still compared himself to everyone else, feeling as though they were all better than him. I would assume he felt anger at those feelings as well. It's really sad that Elliot was feeling that way. It doesn't sound like any of the adults close to him were helping in any way. Sounds like he just felt alone and indifferent, and that's really sad to me.
It really is.
Yeah.
I don't have firsthand knowledge of this because I was fairly popular growing up. But there's nothing worse in my life that I could imagine than being the outcast or being the one that people labeled as different or awkward.
And here's my thing. The parents, I would think they talked about it, right? And, you know, whoever he went to Disneyland with saw his reaction to Disneyland and lived with him and saw his behavior. So, you know, his mother clearly took her to someone who said he was autistic to try to get him help. But I don't know if it was followed up on or, you know, it's sad.
It really is.
So here's an interesting tidbit, as I like to say. Elliot's mother dated the George Lucas for a short time.
Really?
And there were some perks that came along with that. Elliot and his mother got to go to some of the Star Wars red carpet premieres. But when he was home, all Roger wanted to do was play video games. Guys, this is the cliche, okay? All right. The cliche of the troubled kid who finds solace in video games. And I'm not saying everyone who plays video games has something wrong with them, because they don't. It's the ones who already are stuck in their own head. That's what fears me, when they don't have people to talk to or friends outside of it. That's scary. So Halo, do you know what Halo is, Mark?
I do.
That was one of his favorites.
Hated it.
So Halo is a game that involves lots of shooting and killing. Elliot would lock himself in his room and play for hours and hours. He basically had himself in isolation, talking to no one, just staring at a screen.
All right, so most of the people in our audience are roughly our age group.
Yeah.
So I can't play games now. I have every game system. I have tons of games. I have them in every room. But I find myself, when I play video games, when I get like 5 minutes into it, I'm bored.
Yeah.
But back in the day,
you could do it for hours.
I could do it for hours.
Yeah.
I was a Maniac Mansion guy.
Oh.
Which was a game that we used to play on Commodore 64. And a lot of people in our audience are like, what is that? That's an old computer system. But way back in the day. And then it came out on, I believe, NES at one point. And I loved that game. I'm curious, to all the people in our listening audience, Creeps, what games were you addicted to? What ones did you like growing up? I just like to see what else everybody did.
I'm not good at video games. Never was. Well, unless
it's hard to believe with that really good tech device.
Whatever, Mark. Unless it was interactive, like the Wii.
No, I hated that thing.
Oh, I could kick butt with Wii.
Kristen sits in there and plays that candy crushing game all the time, all day long.
Yeah.
And I just look and I'm just shaking my head. I'm like, I don't get it.
I love word search games. So I do have a lot of those that
on
my phone.
I love ordering crap on Amazon. That game is fun.
Yeah, I play that game sometimes too, and it's not good. Like something arrived today. I came home and I saw it on the steps and I'm like, huh. Oh, yeah, I remember that I ordered that.
Well, I order a lot of the stuff for work through Amazon, and it gets delivered here because delivering it to where our office is are not quite safe to leave out there.
Right, yes.
It's like my entire porch is full of packages that I need to slowly
bring
to work.
There's quite a large one out there when I
came. Yeah, there's three matching ones that are in there, and then I already brought seven more of those boxes already. Those are new speakers for the racetracks.
Oh, excellent. Do you remember Elliot's father's new wife, the beautiful actress?
Yep.
Well, she got pregnant and had a baby boy. It was during this time that Elliot stopped going to movies. He just couldn't stand seeing couples out enjoying each other's company.
Really?
In my opinion, I feel like Elliot might have felt replaced by his new half-brother. He saw his father enjoying a whole new family, in his mind, maybe leaving him behind. Just a thought. When he was in middle school, it's been said that Elliot pretty much stopped interacting with everybody. He discovered a new online game called The World of Warcraft. I think most of us have heard of that game as well. He would spend entire days into the night playing.
I was an Age of Empires guy, so I didn't like World of Warcraft.
Oh, well.
Those nerds.
Oh, you better take that back.
Hey, I played Age of Empires, which is also a bunch of nerds.
Okay, good. Apparently, his mother did nothing to stop it. Maybe she was working. You know, she's a single mother. Who knows? Because, I'm not pointing fingers at people.
Not at
because
all.
You don't know
situations.
The situation for sure, what was going on. This is just like when I research stories like this, unless I took, you know, weeks and weeks to dive deep, like deeper than deep. And even then, you don't know if it's 100% true, mm-hmm. right? Because the accounts from everybody is a little different.
Did you ever play the repeater game in school?
Yes, and by the time it gets to the, telephone.
Yep, I was that guy.
Yeah.
That would always change it. They'd be like.
I knew it would be
they'd
you.
They'd whisper in my ear. They'd be like, orange. I'd be like.
Purple.
Car.
here. This is going to start getting a little interesting. One of his online friends sent him a naked picture of a woman, and he didn't know what to do with the feelings he experienced and clearly didn't feel like he had anyone he could talk to about it.
I definitely know what the feelings to experience every single time that happens.
I know, but
it's
that's
great.
But for him, that's sad because when you have a group of friends, you say, oh my God, guys, this dude that I was playing World of Warcraft with sent me a picture, a naked.
Oh, it was a guy who sent one to him?
Yeah. But it was of a girl.
Oh, okay.
What I'm saying is.
I was like, I didn't want people to.
No. But what I'm saying is if you have a group of friends.
Yes.
You say the next day, you're like, dude, I just saw a total naked lady.
Not me. I keep it secret.
And I like, has this ever happened? You know, you'd talk to your friends about it, right?
Nope. Not a once.
Oh.
Risk shutting that waterfall down? Are you kidding me? No way.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm wrong. I'm not a dude. Although I kind of act like one sometimes.
I was going to say, you're the most dude-y person I've ever met.
Isn't that weird? Because I'm a hairdresser and I'm into like the beauty and stuff. You wouldn't think that
I
was.
Have you ever actually said that on the air, though? I don't know if you've ever actually said that you're a hairdresser. Have you?
Yeah, people know I'm a hairdresser.
Okay. I didn't know if you did or not.
But I don't know. Yeah, it's weird. Anyways, while going through puberty, he became very overly sexually attracted to women. So that's what happened with these emotions. He just zoned in on it. He was hornier than horny.
Speaking of big things that look like penises.
Oh, yeah.
I came home from work today through Lowell.
Yeah.
Because I had to go to our Walmart. And I wanted to go to our Walmart because I knew they had what I needed.
Did you see the cock statue?
That's what I was just going to say. I turned up the road.
Yes.
Still didn't see it.
Oh, Mark.
I actually physically stopped. So I came up to the top of the hill, and it's that new development on the right-hand side, right? Kind of near where that guy fixes the snowblowers on the left.
It's right across the street.
I looked. I didn't see any
erect
statues.
Next time I draw, I'm taking a picture, and I'm sending the cock to you, and then you can post it on the Facebook page.
Please do.
By the way, the best of episode that you put up, we talked about Ficinus.
I do. I remember that. Yeah, I remember that.
That little cute guy, Ficinus. Okay, sorry.
And to make you happy,
yeah.
When I pulled out of Walmart at the previously mentioned intersection that Charity's talked about on air, where people cut her off, I put my truck in the middle of both lanes and blocked them both.
Yes, I do that. Happy. I do that too.
The guy behind me was beeping, and I put my middle finger out the window and I went, "Oh, my truck is wrapped. I probably shouldn't do that. I only do it
if they try to get in after the dotted lines. It's a zipper, like you said. Get in before. Yes, it's two lanes. Yep. Put your blinker on and get in there.
What is a blinker?
I don't know
what a blinker is.
It's a directional mark. Okay.
Okay.
So anyways, he was very, very horny. But he thought actual women or an actual woman would never want him in that way. So he felt like he had these feelings that he'll never be able to act on. Which is sad.
I never knew what that was like. I'm sorry.
Ugh, male.
I'm just playing. Or am I? The world will never know. So we'll know two things. Mark wasn't playing, and they'll also know how many licks it takes to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll pop.
Oh, my Lord. While Elliot was still in middle school, his mother moved them to an apartment. To say he was embarrassed of his new home was an understatement. He felt as if he was way too good to live in an apartment. Well, think about where he came from.
Yep.
All the riches, right?
Yeah.
And to me, it sounds like growing up, all of the nice things that were given to him and the places he went, he probably thought that that's how he should have continued living.
Yeah.
So for him, this was like a horrible thing. He felt like he was a complete no one at school, so he decided to draw some attention to himself by irritating all the other students in class. Guys, he became known as a socially awkward, weird kid. We all probably remember. Maybe we were that one person. But
yeah, guys, if you did not have a socially awkward, weird person that you know that you went to school with, it was probably you. There's nothing wrong with that at all.
Oh, I'm definitely weird. I probably am slightly socially awkward now that I think of it, because I do things that are very odd.
Like do that weird teeth thing and cross your eyes.
Yes.
And then say, let's go round and round.
Yeah.
Every single time. Oh, you're doing it now. Your face is going to stay that way.
It's almost like he's looking at the sun, guys, when I do it. He looks away.
It's like blinding me. I need one of those eclipse glasses.
For my buck teeth.
Somebody send me eclipse glasses, please. I could absolutely use those things.
Basically, his plan to get attention backfired, and he became the go-to target for bullies. So all he did was put, like, a red dot on himself. Like, hello. Yep. You know, or like a big bright light. One of his bullies was a pretty blonde girl. This just made him have great disdain for women, thinking they were just mean and hateful. So he's starting to think all women, every single one of them, are mean and hateful.
And he's not wrong. No, the joke.
It sounds like, to me, he may have had some mommy issues on top of everything else.
Yeah.
I don't know. After all, his mom didn't seem to show much attention his way, and he had no relationship at all with his sister. He did, however, have that relationship with his grandmother, though. But that sounds like it's the only woman he actually had a good relationship with at some point. I don't know.
That is weird.
So Elliot would go to various internet cafes to play his online games. I'm wondering if maybe his parents were on his case about all the video games at that point. So he decided if he went to a cafe, they wouldn't know what he was doing.
I can just say right now, for all the former computer nerds like myself, people today do not realize how hard it was to play against your friends growing up when I was younger. We had to go to LAN parties, which would mean you would bring your whole computer. And we're not just talking about, let's bring our laptop. No, your whole desktop.
Really?
Your big CRT monitor.
Oh, because they could do it online now.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we used to have to go do that, and we'd all have to plug like a peer-to-peer network and play games against each other. Like, it was good times. We had AOL Instant Messenger. Like, life was good. You'd log on the internet and go, you've got mail. Like, life was great back then.
I didn't do much computer stuff back then.
Really? Because how good you are with them now says otherwise.
Unless I had to write a report or something. Anyways, one day at one of these cafes, Elliot saw another teenager watching porn.
Uh-oh. Who would watch that?
He was sexually stimulated by seeing the porn, but also startled by what he saw. He didn't think... he had anyone to talk to about his feelings and if they were normal or not. So he just cried all alone. That's sad.
That is
See, that's
sad.
What I mean. If you had a buddy, you could be like, dude, look at, guess what I saw at this cafe? I don't even know why the dude was watching it in the cafe, but I saw it and I saw it all.
That is awkward that somebody was watching
right,
it in
maybe,
the cafe.
Too bad we didn't know who that guy was so we could do a case on him. Like in public watching porn guy.
That is weird.
Yeah. Because Elliot had such hate for girls, he decided he should go to an all-boys high school. This way, there would be no girls to make fun of him or reject him. So, that I mean, I could see his thinking, right? I want to go to an all-boys high school. I have complete disdain for girls. They're all evil biatches. So if I go to an all-boys school, I'll be totally fine. And it was a fresh start, right?
We'll see.
He was actually very excited about starting fresh at the new school. But when his dad pulled up in front of the school to drop him off, he started to cry, feeling extreme anxiety and fear when he saw all the boys, most of them much bigger and taller than he was. So here's the whole comparing himself to the height and stuff of the other boys, feeling, you know, insecure and all that happy stuff.
Let me give some of the younger creeps a life lesson here real quick. I want you to know that you don't need to give an S about what anybody else thinks about you.
That's right.
I walk around every single day myself. I annoy people.
Yeah.
Some people like me. Some people, well, most people do like me because I have that attitude that brings people in, whatever.
Right.
But I'm a fat guy. I don't care. I have zero problems taking off my shirt.
Nope.
I have no problems
about
who I am.
You're comfortable in your own skin.
I'm me.
That's right.
It took me
forever.
25 years to figure that out.
But you know what? Not to interrupt you.
Yeah.
We could tell the younger people who are of school age that to this point and tell them that that's how they should feel. And unfortunately, it's so hard when you're that age to be that brave and feel that way. You know what I mean? Because there's so many things around you. There's so many people judging you.
Yeah.
There's so many things, you know, to say you should look a certain way or and it's sad.
It is. Sad. And it's absolutely a stepping stone that people that have that non-idealistic image of themselves put as a roadblock in their life.
Yes.
Guys, just be yourself because who you are is who you're supposed to be.
That's right.
And people will like you for who you are. Not if you're a killer, but like, you
right.
know.
Well, yeah, there's deal breakers.
I hope there's no like serial killer listening today going like, you know, right.
Mark from Case Watch said that I should embrace myself.
Yeah. I've been not killing for years. I'm getting back on that murdering swing. So that is not what I'm talking about.
That's not what we mean, guys.
I'm just saying, go to the beach, take your shirt off. Who cares who's around you? Be yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Woman, too. That's all cool.
Okay. Bullying started the very first week of school. Seniors threw food at him during lunch. The making fun of him only got worse and worse. The other kids at school noticed that he never talked to girls and even avoided them. They assumed he was gay and made fun of him about that. Ugh. It's almost, it's so weird that like, even though he went to a different school, it had to have been the way he carried himself.
It had to be.
Because it's like they pinpointed him as, because he started as a freshman with all the other freshmen.
Yep.
But it's like they pinpointed him like he's the one we're going to bully.
You know what the sad part is? Is half of those bullies are more insecure than the actual
and
people
that's why
are,
they
and
bully.
That's how they bully and how they act out.
Or they're being bullied at home.
Yep.
And that's where they're passing the buck.
It sucks, man. Let's just all be better people. I don't bully anybody. I make fun of everybody.
Elliot did his best to ignore all the hateful things that were being done and said to him, withdrawing again, totally, and just focusing on the video games playing. I would imagine the online, quote-unquote, friends he had in World of Warcraft must have felt like an escape for him from reality, right?
Yep.
That's probably why he spent so much time playing, because those are people that like got him because they had like-minded, they loved the game just like mm-hmm. him. The last day of his freshman year, one of Elliot's classmates was talking about how he and his girlfriend had the sex.
The sex?
Ooh. The sex. Just hearing this threw Elliot into
sir.
Please slap me in the face with your meat. I can't. Just hearing this. Guys, by the way, if you're a new listener, that was digitally remastered.
I don't know how to do
the
that.
The words were said, but not quite in that order. And he has it on his whole panel of buttons.
Testicles. 1, 2, 3.
I like that one.
I don't remember what these two are. Bear with me, guys. I don't know what they are.
Illinois.
S is silent.
I love that her. One. We used to play that all the time.
Yeah, we did. I'm going to just continue on. Just hearing this threw Elliot into an all-out raging tantrum. He was sent to the office because he was literally causing a scene, apparently. His mother was called to pick him up.
What do you think the principal said to him?
Yes, sir. Please slap me in the face with your meat. Kristen just walked in and she did not hear what
she didn't hear
the button he just pushed.
The button, this one.
Yes, sir. Please slap me in the face with your meat.
Come on, Charity. Keep it together. This is a professional show. Come on. The people depend on it.
It's not very nice. He apparently tried to talk to his mother about it on the way home, and he was visually upset. Let's just say it was decided that he would not go back to that high school the following year. At least he tried to talk to his mom, and at least his parents acknowledged that he should not be going back to that school again. So that's good, right? I mean, but maybe the mother good-ish. Saw how horrible it was. Elliot started his sophomore year at Taft High School, a public high school with way more students than the private. All boys school, than the private all-boys school he had gone to the year before. This, of course, freaked him out immensely. Not only was he again starting a new school as a new kid, but so many more kids to deal with. This poor kid. And listen, guys, the bullying started almost immediately.
That's horrible.
Right? Like, what the heck? It's so sad. The other kids would make fun of Elliot any chance they got, physically assaulting him, like pushing him around for no reason. So he was the kid that like got pushed into the lockers. How do they know? I don't understand.
You can sense it. It's just like any other thing. Like people who are hyper-focused on something, they focus on it. People who are, let's say, who can spot, you know, unfortunately, women with daddy issues.
Yeah.
Or, like, unfortunately, people like that
can, or like the cult we talked it. About.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They know to draw in the right people that are going to listen to their message. And it's unfortunate.
Sad. The boys loved to make fun of him in front of the girls just to belittle him even more. So they didn't know his huge disdain for the girls. But for some reason, they made fun of him in front of the girls, which made things even worse. Why didn't any grown-ups do anything about this? Right?
The only thing grown-ups seemed worried about when I was younger was telling us don't like let people try to give you candy and don't go look at dogs and cars. Like that, we're hyper-focused on that when we were younger.
Like it sounds like at the time he was a little bit vocal about his abuses at school to his mother.
And one of the things that kind of upsetting to me is we keep hearing how this new next generation of kids that are in school now are better than we were. And then I hear stories from people who are in school that say it's worse than it ever was.
Right.
Like, it doesn't make sense to me.
I mean, at that point, his parents must have realized just how bad their son was struggling, right?
Had to, or they were completely self-absorbed.
Well, they realized something was wrong enough that they sent him to a very small school named Independence Continuation High School. This school was specifically for kids that needed special help with emotional and mental issues. So if they had sent him to this school, say, even as late as his start of middle school, maybe they could have worked on him. Because it's for kids like him that need that social help, need that mental help, need all of those things. You know what I mean? The hope was that he might find some kids like himself and fit in. Around that time, Elliot received an actual diagnosis of persuasive developmental disorder, not otherwise specified, or PD-NOS.
Okay.
Let's see what Miss Wiki has to tell us about this diagnosis.
I was hoping you were going to get your friend involved.
Yeah, I have to. Yeah.
It's been a while.
She says PD-NOS, it's spelled out dash, guys, is a historic psychiatric diagnosis first defined in 1980 that has since been incorporated into autism spectrum disorder in the DSM-5 in 2013. I learned about the DSM-5 by watching the Jodi Arias trial, guys, because they definitely went through the DMS-5 for her.
All right, here's how guys think right now. And believe it if you want. Don't. I don't really care. Every single guy who watched the Jodi Arias case looked at pictures and say, Yeah, I get it. I probably would have done the same thing.
I mean, she's a beautiful girl. Absolutely.
Knowing she's
beautiful.
Still a killer, I guarantee she could still
garner
a following.
Guys, that case was that court case to watch was wild. Not
it was.
Quite as wild as the local one that's going on now that we will not be talking about right now, but we'll talk about it off air.
Well, the last podcast that talked about it, the guy's now like facing a bunch of criminal charges, so really don't want to be in that same boat.
Yeah, but he's the one who uncovered stuff.
He sure did.
But anyways, we won't talk about that. PD-NOS referred to mild or severe persuasive deficits in the development of reciprocal social interaction in verbal and nonverbal communication skills, or when stereotyped behavior, interests, and or activities are present, but the criteria are not met for a specific PDD or several other disorders. PD-NOS was collapsed into the diagnosis of autism spectrum disorder. PD-NOS was earlier considered more mild than autism. This turned out to be not true. Some characteristics of PD-NOS can actually be more severe than typical autism. Oh, that was a lot, guys. Mm-hmm. And I had to sound like kind of smart when I read that. And some of those words were hard.
Here's something else.
Sounds like maybe the new school was good for him, right?
Sure.
Since he had gotten an actual diagnosis, he was able to receive extra help at school. When Elliot was 15, he started taking Xanax and Prozac, then switched to Paxil. He did, however, stop taking all his meds after being on them for just a year. I wonder if he got some adverse side effects. I don't know. When he was 17, he was told he was going to go with his stepmother and stepbrother and his father on a trip to Morocco. Let's just say that he made it extremely clear that he didn't want to go. He probably had a huge mental breakdown.
Yeah.
If you think about it, especially he was off his drugs. Now, during this time, he was seeing a psychiatrist. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute, but he was forced. And the entire time he was there, he blew up his mother's phone and like literally annoying her to the point where she allowed him to come back home, which good. I mean, she probably wanted a break.
Right.
I hate saying that. But the poor kid was suffering mental anguish about it. It was soon after this that Elliot's father's career took a huge hit. He signed on to make a documentary called Oh My God. This project took him all around the world. He must have been very excited for its release in 2009. Well, it was a bust, and Elliot's father lost most of his money because he funded it himself, guys.
Ooh.
This loss made it so he couldn't pay child support anymore. That must have been another hit to Elliot. His mom didn't make a ton of money as it was, and now there would be even less.
Can I get on my soapbox for a second,
course.
Too?
Yeah.
To all the guys out there who don't pay child support, you're a scumbag, like complete scumbag.
Yep.
There's nothing worse that makes me distance myself from another male or friend or any of that stuff who when they start, you know the line that drives me nuts? I just did a charity and punched my microphone because I'm pretty passionate about this.
Yeah.
When I would hear them say, well, they use my money for this and they use my money for that. The child still needs to be taken care of somehow, dipshit. Give me a break. I'm a guy who raised my child. I had custody of my child from 2 to 14. So I know what it takes to raise a child. And the guys that try to skip out on that.
Yep. It's horrible.
Shame on you.
It's horrible.
Because what you're doing is instilling in your child's head that you're a piece of crap.
Yep.
Sorry, it's true.
Well, now, if you remember, too, his father had to take care of the new family he had.
Yep.
Right? So his focus, unfortunately, I don't know, but it may have been on because that child was much younger and he had to make sure that child was fed. And I'm not making excuses, but that's probably how he thought of it, right?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Unfortunately, I don't feel the same way.
No, I don't either.
Not one bit.
Elliot's stepmother decided out of the blue that he was spending way too much time playing World of Warcraft. She made him stop playing and told him he needed some real friends. She would even set up times and have kids his age come to the house to hang out with him, forcing the issue. That must not have been awkward at all.
Yeah, not
and
one bit.
And why all of a sudden now?
Especially for a dude who's got social anxiety.
Right. So I personally think that at this point in time, his mother kind of like had him go stay with his father for a while. Because as I read on, you'll see why I think that.
Okay.
So this pissed Elliot off and made him dislike his stepmother more than he already had. Because he didn't like her really at all. to begin with. In fact, his relationship with his stepmother and his father became really bad. Even saving his little brother from drowning didn't help. So I guess his little brother was trying to swim in a pool and began to drown, and he jumped in and saved him, but it didn't do anything to make his stepmother and father like him anymore. They were just glad the stepson was not dead. Mm-hmm. The relationship got so bad that Elliot was told he couldn't live at the house. I just feel like Elliot was treated as an annoyance. So they kicked him out of the house. So that's why I kind of feel like maybe the mother was like, hey, go live with, see if your father can help, right? I don't know. After getting kicked out of his father's home, Elliot became obsessed with becoming rich. Apparently, the fact that his father lost all of his money really bothered him. He tried talking with his mother into finding a rich man and marrying him for his money.
Nice.
But think about it, right? Everything was good when they were rich.
Was it?
But that, when his little memory of that probably was, right? Because he was so little when they went all those, before he was 4 years old, when they went all those trips across different countries.
And he was miserable.
No, back then he wasn't.
I thought you said he was still uncomfortable at Disney.
No, Disney, but Disney was after they divorced.
Oh, okay.
Before they moved to the U.S., they were richer than rich and traveling all over the place. And to little him, right? Maybe if he was rich, I don't know. It's been said that he thought that if he was rich, then all the women would flock to him. Here we go again with him craving any type of attention from women, even though he hated them, so he says.
I'm so confused now. Like, I'm that's in my head, too.
Yeah.
Because you keep saying all this, he's uncomfortable with it, and he's uncomfortable with the video that he saw, but yet he's trying to attract what's uncomfortable to him.
He wants a woman, but thinks they'll never want him, so that's because they're so mean and hateful. It's a big twisted, like, thing going on in his head. Elliot's mother thought it would do him good to try and become a writer or director and follow in his father's footsteps. She apparently thought that he'd be good at it, telling him he could definitely become rich doing it. So she was trying to, like, get into his head and try to change his focus, I think, right? Off the video games, off the girls, off this, off that. So Elliot started to think that it would be, like, really easy to become a screenwriter, and it would be such quick money because anyone can be a screenwriter, right? It's so easy, apparently. Well, once he found out all the work he would have to put in to become a screenwriter and that it wasn't a super easy, quick, rich fix, he decided it wasn't the path for him.
Everybody wants the career. Nobody wants the work.
Elliot hated high school, so he decided he needed to graduate ASAP. He made up his mind and stopped playing World of Warcraft and changed all his grades to straight A's. It has been noted that during this time at this particular high school, other students did try to interact with Elliot and tried to become friends with him. Also, while he was at this school, he was seeing some sort of mental specialist. So that's what I was saying. So I'm wondering if it was part of the school curriculum or part of the school day, or if it was like a must if you were going to go to this school. But Elliot wasn't interested in having relationships with any of the other students that were trying to befriend him. So I think, like, the ship had sailed, right? At this point, he was so damaged by peers that he probably thought they were faking it.
He didn't want to entertain the idea.
I don't blame him, really.
I get it.
He stayed antisocial, keeping his eye on the prize. He successfully did what he had put his mind to. And in 2010, he graduated from Independence Continuation High School. This is a little confusing to me. It's like a switch flipped and he was all of a sudden a great student graduating with great grades. I wonder why he couldn't have put his mind towards other positive activities earlier on, right?
Yeah, it's a valid point.
Yeah. I think this is a good time to stop, right, as Elliot.
Do you know what else is a good valid point?
Yes, sir. Please slap me in the face with your meat.
I actually didn't mean to hit that one. I meant to hit this one.
Illinois. That's the silence.
No, I didn't. I just want to make you feel better.
Guys, anyways, please, please don't stop listening to us because of this.
They're not going to. I'll tell you what. After hearing the buildup, I actually really like the way you laid this case out because hearing the buildup to this.
Yes.
Now my mind for the next week.
You're going to be wondering.
Because you know I'm not going to look it up. So, guys, please
try not to look it up. I know. I'm sure a lot of you might have heard of the name before. It's very possible, especially if you're in the area where it happened. But try not to.
I definitely don't, because Charity be like, we're going to talk about Jeffrey Dahmer today. I'm like, who?
Someone that big, you know. Anyways, so I think it's good to stop as he's graduating from high school, because this story is far from over. But there is just so much information that we are going to have to wait for the second part to find out what paths Elliot chooses after high school. I thought it was really important, like I said, to slowly go through Elliot's childhood in all the way through high school years. It's important because it is all part of the reason he became who and what he was as a young adult.
You know what else is important? I gotta say I messed up.
What?
So
by hitting that button of me saying that so many times?
No, that was one of the best things I've done today.
Oh.
So I asked everybody a couple of weeks ago if, you know, the first five people or whatever that sent me their address, I would ship them out a sticker.
Yeah, those people were mad about that, Mark.
So I did envelope up five of them, stamped them, labeled them all up, brought them to work. I was going to throw them in the mailbox, and I can't find them. So if you were one of those five people, and I get that there's going to be some more who throw it in, that's fine. Shoot me your address again, and I will follow through this time because I don't know what happened to them. I searched my entire office looking for them, and I cannot find them.
Oh.
And yes, I brought them to work because I have a stamp machine. So yes, that's why they went there. So my own mistake, but I stamped them and then lost them.
Oh, you gotta find them,
so
Mark.
Mad at myself.
Mark,
I have some more stickers. So you guys, if you did, seriously, shoot me a message and I will hook you up.
Mark, I'm not going to read it on air, but I don't know why. I just was called to check. We got another 5-star review on Apple.
I got to go look it up now. Let's see.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Thank you very much, whoever gives us positive reviews anywhere. It's great, guys, because that does help us to be able to continue what we do.
Yeah, because we enjoy this. We just do it for fun.
We just do it for fun now, and we love the community that has been created, and we love all you guys. So we definitely appreciate 5 stars. But I don't know why Apple's the one that changes the algorithm.
Because Apple's the leader is kind of why it's kind of why how businesses cater to Walmart, because that it's their bulk of the where the customers come from.
True.
We are huge on iHeart. We're still high up on iHeart. And all right, I just read this review and I really like this.
Me too. It's a good one.
And I know exactly who they're calling out by that last sentence.
I sure do too.
Because that is so annoying. Like, I could still hear the way they would say that in their head. It was just like,
Yep.
So annoying. Guys, tune in to the next episode because I'm super excited to see what happens on this one. And with that, we'll see you on the next one.
Bye, guys.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.